It is a very icy situation out there, both on the sidewalks and on the streets. If you don't need to go out, you should not go out. Nobody likes days like today, but nobody handles days like today better than New Yorkers.
All right, of course, we're talking about the weather. That is the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. And I always say this is the common denominator. Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Kate Delaney at the helm in a very cold place as well, but no snow or ice to contend with at the mini ship in Texas. The mothership in Minneapolis, that's a much different story. In fact, Nathan, what's the temperature in Minneapolis right now?
I think I want to say it's negative six. That's what the boys are shouting at me.
Negative six. Now, so people know...
Yeah, that's negative 20 with a wind chill.
Whee! Negative 20. Now, we have some really awesome guys that work at the GCN network, and none of you ever complain about the weather. In fact, don't the majority of you like it when it's super, super cold, Nathan?
Well, see, like... Now, that's shaping a nice little picture, but I do say we definitely have endurance, and... Yeah, it does make me feel pretty strong to get through it.
To get through it. And that's the key word. I knew he was going to set me up perfectly. Thank you, Nathan. Get through it. That's what people are doing. They're getting through it because it's a record amount of snow, ice, and ridiculous conditions. So instead of whining about it, there's sort of a pound your chest, Tarzan kind of thing about getting through these crazy temperatures and these situations. In the Northeast, it is so bad, which is what Bill de Blasio was talking about, that no one likes these treacherous days. They're running low on salt because the storms keep coming. Mother Nature keeps spitting them out, and the salt supplies are dwindling. In New York and in New Jersey, they're warning that they're running short of rock salt, which is what they pound all over the place to keep that ice from building up on the highways and especially some of those treacherous local roads. So what do you do when you have no salt? You go looking for it. Neighboring states, though, are having the same problem, too. So as of January 26th, in fact, this is interesting, New Jersey spent $60 million on snow removal. That's on a brisk pace to break the record of 62.5 that was spent last year. New York City has spread about 346,000 tons of rock salt on its roads so far this year, almost the total for last winter. And of course, the city, $57 million on snow removal so far. Most U.S. states and major cities, frankly, don't try to set an upper limit on spending for snow removal, but authorize whatever agency to spend what's necessary and count on them to cover the costs. But I think in terms of a budget, now some of these places are going to have to increase that. And commercial suppliers are running out of rock salt. They just get crushed by these storms. So then what happens is you have people calling from all over looking for it with a major shortage out there. In Connecticut, their Department of Transportation budgeted about $30 million for winter storms. And they're bumping up against that number because you know what storm they're on? 11. 11. So you know what that means? It means the local road conditions are terrible. That's why there's just no way. If you're going to skid all over the place and it's going to be a sheet of ice, you just got to call off. I mean, you can't risk it. There's no way. There's no way. New Yorkers themselves are grabbing up bags of salt to try to clear the sidewalks. It's that bad. Shovels, all the kind of things you would normally see. I mean, they are done. So who's affected by this? The hardest hit state this time around was Pennsylvania, and that's partially because they had 800,000 customers without power. That's brutal. Other states that were slammed, Maryland, Arkansas, New Jersey, West Virginia, Kentucky, Delaware, New York, Ohio. That means the airport's flights canceled. 3,000 some flights were canceled on Wednesday, Thursday, setting up to be kind of a rough day in the commuting sense, because then you have to treacherously find your way around the stuff. That's what I say. If you have that kind of job where they let you work from home or you can call off, whew, why try? I mean, why try? It is not worth it. Coming up on America Tonight, a conversation with an addiction expert. Her name's Connie Scharf, and she's with a pretty well-known rehab facility in the South that caters to all kinds of people, and she has seen it all. And she'll talk a little bit about what happened with Philip Seymour Hoffman and what, in the sense of heroin and how more people are using heroin, and also with marijuana now legalized in Colorado and in Washington and other states considering it. What happens to younger people who are under 25 or 24 if they become marijuana users early, like teenagers using, smoking a lot of pot? What does that mean? What does that do to their brain? And she has some interesting things to say about, you know, all of that. Now, what's interesting is in the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing is the fact that he was clean. He was a guy who got addicted to things really easy and then was able to wean himself off of it and get sober in a bad alcohol problem and whatnot and drug problem. And so then he fell off the wagon, I guess they're saying, maybe about a year ago or so. And now at this point, the family and close friends of Hoffman are just planning a private funeral service. Then they're going to have some kind of a memorial service later in the month. And on Wednesday night, the Broadway theaters dimmed their marquees for 1 minute at 7:45 in his memory, because he had done a bunch of plays, about three or four plays. And so they decided to do that. He was in 60 movies. I said this the other day, 60 movies. He's a big time character actor. And I think the one thing, he shines a light on that whole heroin problem and some of the drugs that are being laced with other things that are causing problems, not just for the famous, but for other people who dip into drugs. And they picked up the people pretty quick that they're questioning. Three people entered not guilty pleas, and they decided not to prosecute the fourth person. They officially did recover 30 bags of what they pretty much think is heroin. The determination officially of the cause and the way he died is still under investigation, and the whole autopsy thing, too, they have to go through that as well. But addiction in this country has, in different forms, alcohol and drug addiction, has never, unfortunately, been bigger, it seems. So we'll talk to Connie Scharf on the flip side here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
America tonight in our virtual green room. Connie Sharpen, boy, the role that she plays is so key. Addiction researcher at the Cliffside Malibu Treatment Center. We've been talking about substance abuse on this show, of course, for a very long time in all different forms. And now, because of the death of the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, a lot of people are talking about heroin and how prevalent it is and what's going on with heroin use. And is it younger people, older people, all kinds of people? And the answer is, I've talked to a lot of people that say, sadly, there are younger people that are using heroin. What a sad thing that is. And his death, obviously, the one thing that it does is just raise this awareness a little bit more, as tragic as it is. Connie, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So your reaction, because I'm sure you pay attention to famous people, not so famous people. Anytime you see anything about some horrible drug death, I'm sure you get some of the details on that. And when you heard about Philip Seymour Hoffman, what was your first reaction to that?
Well, the real tragedy here for me as an addiction treatment professional is that he had been sober for 23 years and had relapsed. And in that situation, it is very difficult for the person to rebound from that, especially with a drug like heroin. People often die before they can get back into recovery.
Yeah, so it's heroin is just, it just gets a hold of you, right?
Absolutely.
And is it true, because I know that in some of the high schools they were talking about black tar heroin. Are you seeing use with younger people, high schoolers and college-aged?
We're seeing use increasing across the board with heroin, and what we believe it's stemming from is the prescription drug abuse epidemic that we see across the nation. And as individuals, especially young people who have intermittent access to prescription medications, as they lose access to the prescription drugs, they switch over to heroin because it's much easier to get and much less expensive.
You and the CEO of Cliffside Malibu Treatment Center wrote a book called Ending Addiction for Good.
Yes.
So how do you get to that road of first of all, taking the first step toward getting off of whatever it is you're on?
Well, the first step is to know that you need help. And a lot of addicts don't know that, or they are so demoralized. I think the latter is the case with Mr. Hoffman. They're so demoralized by their addiction that they don't really believe that there's suitable treatment for them. And one of the things we do with interventions and with family support is to help addicts come to understand that there is help available and that they can overcome their addiction no matter how far down they think they've gone.
So, Connie, is it important for the people who love somebody who's drug addicted to try to arrange an intervention?
I think it's really important in most cases, because we find two things with addicts. Addicts are very unwilling to go to treatment on the whole. About 10% of the population suffers from addiction, but only 13% will ever receive any treatment. And it's mostly because either the addict really doesn't believe they have a problem, or they're so hurt and so ashamed by how they behave and how difficult they've made life for their family that they just don't want to face it. They don't think there's any hope for them. And so that's the important role that the family can play, is to say, we love you enough that we're going to stand by you and help you get better.
Yeah, so you really emphasize that, right? You must meet with the families or talk to the families as the person goes through the process, I would assume.
Yeah, it is a major emphasis. Not in every case. There are certain cases where the family is just completely alienated and out. But yeah, if the family's available, it can be a very strong source of support.
Yeah. What's the prescription drug abuse obviously is huge, and you mentioned that already. What's the number one thing that people are getting tangled up in right now?
Alcohol is still the most abused substance that we have that takes people to treatment. But what's really been growing is the prescription medication. And heroin is essentially the same drug. It all prescription painkillers and heroin, they're all opioids. And they all are essentially the same substance, and they are being very widely abused. And as I said, as people cannot afford prescription medications or can't access them, as we have crackdowns on prescription medication abuse, there's an immediate switch to heroin.
Yeah. You must have a lot of success stories. Do sometimes some of the people that you've worked with come back and talk to groups or talk to people and tell them what they went through and how they came out on the other side?
They will come back sometimes to the treatment center itself and talk to people who are currently in treatment.
Yeah.
But outside of that, no, because there's still a lot of addiction and stigma. People say, oh, you're an addict. And, you know, even people who've been sober for a very long time can see some backlash from that. So on the whole, no.
Wow. So we still haven't grown very much in that area then, have we?
We haven't. And, you know, that's one of the things that keeps people out of recovery and out of treatment, is that, you know, we talk about addiction either being a disease or a behavioral disorder, which is what we use, the model we use at the treatment center. But in the world, addicts are still treated as if they're morally deficient, as if they are somehow making a choice to behave badly. And that simply isn't the case.
Yeah. You see that in Colorado, it's not just medical marijuana. People can get marijuana now, too, as well, recreationally. Some people feel like marijuana is a gateway drug, and this might be a bad idea as more states try to go for legalizing pot. What do you say?
I'm not really concerned about whether marijuana is legal or illegal. What concerns me is who is using it and how much they're using. We know that a certain percentage of people are going to become addicted to marijuana. You can become addicted to marijuana. So we know to expect that. But people who start using marijuana under the age of 24 or 25, when the brain stops really developing and has become developed in full, we see a lot of really crippling effects and really permanent damage that is done by consistent marijuana smoking in young people.
Wow, and hardly anyone talks about that.
Nobody talks about it really, and there's been some tremendous research that's been done by neuroscientists such as psychiatrist Dr. Dan Siegel out of UCLA, who just wrote a book about called Brainstorm about the developing teenage brain. And marijuana really has a very negative effect. So, you know, if someone who's, you know, 30 or 40 years old wants to smoke a little weed, that's none of my business. You know, it doesn't concern me as an addiction professional. But when we have this idea that marijuana is harmless and young people are smoking it, they really don't understand the consequences of those actions. The same way we think, you know, drinking is harmless, but in fact, alcoholism is, you know, has a tremendous impact on our economy and our families.
Boy, that's the truth. What is it when people go through your program? What have you found? You've had great success rates. What is it that's worked so well for you?
We do two things. We use what's called the stages of change model, and it was developed by the psychologist Dr. James Prochaska out of the University of Rhode Island. And he's one of the world's leading psychologists. And what he taught us is that change happens in a predictable pattern. And he's also showed us what obstacles happen that take people out of the change process at each of these stages. So we're able to apply that to addiction recovery and see where people in early recovery have the potential to relapse and help them through those difficult times, through those stages. So that's one thing we do. The other thing that we do is we have a complementary a use of complementary therapies that help people on the levels of mind, body, and spirit to really get at the root cause of the addiction. We don't use a disease model. We're not concerned about genetic predisposition. What we're concerned about is what was the trigger that got you to use in the first place, and how does your drug of choice help you to deal with that problem? If we can get at that, we can resolve the issue and help people to live much healthier lives.
Well said. So if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, how can they get that?
Ending Addiction for Good is on Amazon.com.
All right, Connie, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com.
That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
That was Bill Clinton back then, and that was Monica Lewinsky. Remember that whole scandal that broke, and then subsequently what happened afterwards. So there's no doubt the philanderings of Bill Clinton have made news for a long time. But now Hillary Clinton, in running for president in 2016 on the Democratic side of things, I mean, she's the presumptive nominee. There's no question about it. The story breaks as she prepares to run for president. This is kind of an embarrassing thing. You have Tom Sizemore, who first said that he set up Bill Clinton with the supermodel / actress Elizabeth Hurley, and that they had a love affair, and it lasted a year or some other such thing. Now Tom Sizemore is coming out and saying that he made it up during a drug binge, and he apologized to Elizabeth Hurley, who used to be his girlfriend, and said, "I'm not denying that I said these things. I don't remember saying them." He said they're the rantings of a guy, and it's been well chronicled, who had a severe, severe drug problem. And he said he wanted to apologize for any hurt that he caused the Clintons or Liz or anybody else that he mentioned. And so with, like I said, Clinton preparing to run in 2016, they're looking into, of course, all kinds of things, and that made huge headlines. That Bill Clinton, the ex-president, carried on this year-long affair with the British supermodel. But Tom Sizemore, who says he arranged it, then took it back. So they had this crazy audio recording where the actor was ranting and talking about his own his own relationship with her and talked about how the ex-president once sent a plane to fly Hurley to D.C. where they were in the White House and blah, 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 and all this other sort of stuff. So he was boasting to his friends about how he arranged it. And again, now he is taking it back, saying this is all about the drugs, and that's what it is. It's about nothing else other than that. So the claims put the spotlight back on this marriage of the Clintons that's been criticized by a lot of people. And Hillary, who is making the charge to claim the White House, they certainly don't want to have to deal with that. But I think this just gets sloughed off. Unless there's something hardcore that can be proven, it's not going to stick. And I think that it's just a little obstacle on the way. But it would be interesting to really know what the deal with Tom Sizemore is, and if there is something to that, really. Because Hurley herself said it was ludicrous and denied it. Said that that never happened, and she doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not true. That she's denying it, saying she never did that. She was dating Hugh Grant at the time, and that wasn't true. And Sizemore said he was at the White House, and while they were screening his movie Saving Private Ryan, Clinton asked for her number and blah, blah, blah. But she says no. So anyway, so that story was kind of a non-starter other than to start the conversation again about, oh, well, if Hillary Clinton's elected, then what about Bill Clinton? And what about Bill Clinton's past? And what about these claims of other women and all the way through and running for the White House so long ago? And now it would be the reverse effect of Hillary being in there. So for whatever it's worth, as we kind of kick a couple things around here in odds and ends, the coming off of that Philip Seymour Hoffman story, which is so depressing. I mean, depressing in the sense of what you realize what happens to people after they kick. If you heard Connie there, he kicks it for 20 some years, and then boom, he's sucked back into it. And how awful is that, after beating something that really grabbed a hold of him, and to fall back into that situation, and then with three young kids. And it's really the young kid thing that I think is the rough part of it, for sure. When we talked about at the top the toothpaste bomb warning for the Sochi-bound planes that were heading into Russia, and Putin insisting that they are ready. They are ready. They're at the ready. If anything were to happen, I mean, they are absolutely there without a doubt. And then these things that you're hearing about the conditions in the village and problems people are having. Putin pointed to the Boston Marathon bombings as a big reason for intense security around the Winter Olympics. Because if you remember, the Chechenian brothers who were accused of the attacks came from an area just a few hundred miles away from the Olympic sites. And there have been twin bombings in a southern Russian city in December that heightened some of the fears of terrorism there. And you have intelligence agencies from a whole bunch of countries that are trying to work together around the clock at a special headquarters in the city. While visiting, Putin was visiting the Olympic sites, and he was sure to point that out. And so he's saying that security has been central to the Olympic project. He just hasn't really shared that with anyone until now. And now that everybody's on the ground and they are sharing sites and that kind of thing. So the Olympic zone on the Black Sea supposedly looks like a construction area. Some hotel rooms aren't finished. The electricity outages disrupt some of the security measures. That part's not good. And Putin refers to the unfinished sites as the world's biggest construction project. The construction started from scratch because they filled in swampland on the shores of the Black Sea for the skating arena, the hockey stadium, and some of the other sites, and built up ski facilities on what was really untapped slopes before that. So this is going to be, I think, a very, very interesting Olympics. Let's hope it's a safe Olympics. But even from the other perspectives of what people are finding when they hit the Olympic Village, they're surprised because usually so much money is pumped into building facilities for the Olympics, which is one of the reasons why some people are wary of holding them. And we've seen this in the United States. You know, that was Mitt Romney's claim to fame, solving the crisis of the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics when there were so many problems. And that's what happens. You get into this financial quandary of how do you pay for all the facilities and the construction and the things that you have to do. And, you know, there's a certain bar that's been set, especially by China, if you remember, on how they did the games. Now, Russia, what kind of opening ceremonies will we see from Mother Russia for the Sochi Olympics? I'll be really curious. But I think that's what these next couple of weeks are going to be like. You're also going to see stories about problems with some of the venues. And one of the things I just pointed out, the electricity, but also I think with some of the people staying there and getting in and out of the city. Much like the problems too many of us are having in this country with dealing with Mother Nature and these storms. 11, 12 storms already, and we're just into February. Just into February. Imagine how many flights have been canceled and re-racked since November. Bad weather. And the lack of what I was talking about before, problems with rock salt, not having enough rock salt and whatnot. Boy, it has really led to a lot of problems in a lot of suburban areas and city areas too, as well. In Chicago, my cousin lives in Chicago and actually sent me a link to a story about a runner who helped save a guy who fell into Lake Michigan with his dog. And the runner found some twine, put it around himself, threw the other end of it in the water, pulled the man onto the rocks, called 911, and the guy had to be treated, of course, for severe hypothermia. But he and the dog are expected to recover, which is huge. So there was a silver lining, at least in that story. Then there have been too many crashes with the kind of snow around 94 in that kind of Jackson area of Michigan, injuries and whatnot, and 69 right around Flint has been pretty bad too. I have some friends that live out there, so they're sending me stuff and talking about roads and whatnot. And the bad news is that there's another winter storm that's supposed to slam into those parts of the Midwest and then back into the Northeast again. So there is no end in sight at this point to getting the shovel out and waiting and trying to thaw out and de-ice planes and waiting for planes. All the things that we've been dealing with now, like I said, since the beginning of November. Wow. It's like I was thinking of the great blizzard of 78. I was in the Northeast then. That was terrible. Boston had 27 inches of snow then. Hopefully we won't have any of that kind of storms coming up. Stay with us.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
In just a second, here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, we'll hear what Secretary, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack had to say about the farm bill. You know, 2 years in the making and the tug of war over that thing was incredible. If you think about it, you could put it on the same par as immigration and some of these conversations over health care and whatnot as to how long that took. And the fight over food stamps and subsidies for farms and whatnot. So I'll let you hear what he had to say in a second. But on the tail end of mentioning what's happening with the storms, and I can remember that 78 storm because I lived in the Northeast then. I was a kid, and I can remember just how awful that was. I mean, just freezing. And massive, massive snow. It was like a snow wall had smashed into the house. It was crazy. Now they're talking about in the East Coast, the weekend storm might be actually the biggest one that they're going to have of all the storms they've had so far. It's about probably they're talking about it'll hit the Rockies, the Southwest over the weekend and crawl into the Northeast around then, too. The storm would hit New York City, Philly, Washington, Boston, and would affect the Monday commutes again. And if it really develops into what it could develop into, then they'd have massive blowing, drifting snow and with the strong winds. And that adds a whole different element to it, too. That's another one of those worst-case scenarios. And then in the south, you'd have... Looking at the storm system, you had massive rain, too. So there'd be a lot of severe weather in parts of the southeast and in the northeast, for sure. There would also be snow in the Midwest, too. I'm starting to feel more and more like a weather person. How can you not? The common denominator. How can we not talk about the weather? Are you kidding me? Just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And a couple of other quick odds and ends I said that I was going to throw in, because somebody sent me this. Remember the guy from The Fast and the Furious? They wanted me to mention this, Paul Walker. And that the fact that he was sort of that reluctant actor but really fell into a good gig. Apparently, and he was very close to his daughter. He had a 15-year-old daughter. He left her $25 million because he was really making a lot of money on those movies. They were up to seven, and he was going to be part of seven if he hadn't have died in that crash. All right, here's the here's Secretary Vilsack talking about the farm bill and now what that means.
When corn was selling for $8 a bushel, soybeans were at $15 a bushel, we were sending $4 billion of direct payments out all across the country. This bill ends direct payments. I'm very thankful that we're dealing with that kind of reaction to the SNAP program as opposed to the $40 billion cut that was proposed in the House, which would have taken 2 to 3 million people off of the program.
Yeah, there you go, because that was part of the argument, too, with the whole food stamps and assistance, and then what were the farmers going to get, and there certainly was a big compromise here, but I think everybody gets a little bit of something, even though not everybody will be satisfied with it, because there was a lot of lobbying going on, lots of money being spent on lobbyists to head to Washington to push for this thing, and it didn't look like it was going to go through. And at the tail end of last year, it carries over to this year, and then boom, really it's just waiting for a signature now at this point, and that's absolutely huge. You know, on this show, the nothing infuriated me more of what I've talked about than Fast and Furious of a different sort, Operation Fast and Furious. And 3 years after the death of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, a guy who just wanted to be a Border Patrol agent since the time he could walk practically. Now they're saying they released federal court records this week that show the first of really the official account of that what happened along the Arizona-Mexico border and what killed Terry in December 2010. Some of the details they show, 2 of 4 federal agents at the scene that day actually fired beanbags, not bullets, at a drug gang carrying assault rifles. So weapons from the botched anti-gun trafficking program were found, of course, at his murder scene, which was the thing that set off a lot of alarms about what was going on. And that account hasn't been there until now. So the FBI and Department of Homeland Security never released any kind of an incident report, and the fellow agents had a gag order, so they couldn't really talk about it as much as we tried to get any kind of information. Part of the court fight is over the sentencing of the killer, Manuel Ocerolenas, and the prosecutors released the firsthand accounts of 3 fellow agents involved in the shooting, and those agents were part of this unit, this elite unit, within the Border Patrol that had deployed in the desert to locate a drug gang known as a Rip Crew that had terrorized Nogales, Arizona, that area, for months. So the Rip Crew's job was to stop and steal the drug lords of competing smugglers. They also terrorized and assaulted the human smugglers and innocent illegals trying to enter into the U.S. So Terry's trained team was specifically deployed in the desert to stop them, to stop these crazy idiots, the Rip Crew. And they were on a hill above a ravine. A ground sensor went off to say that the smugglers were approaching. Agents yelled police in Spanish. The smugglers turned and fired. And that's when that happened, just slightly after 11 o'clock at night. And 52 minutes later, he would have been relieved by the second team and gone home for Christmas. So, sadly, that didn't happen. But his death kicked open the question marks about Fast and Furious, which did we really get to the bottom of the end of what we thought should happen there? No. But I think for the family, at least, they know the specifics, and there is some sort of closure to that. So, there are still some unanswered things. You know, what happened to the weapons in the desert, and how come the agents, it sounds like, were so outgunned? Was there information that bad? Did somebody cough up some bad information to them? Because they certainly had other people available that could have helped. Now, in the desert, of course, part of that stuff has to do with equipment. And they're talking about now, although this can be a privacy thing, there's new surveillance cameras that can see for miles, And it's about the size, they're talking about monitoring the size of a small city for hours at a time. And law enforcement, they like it, but it's kind of creepy. Feel like you want to feel like you live in England and you're surveilled all the time. Too bad they don't have that kind of equipment for the guys like Brian Terry, who could use it in the field to know the exact numbers of the people that are facing them. But this is a different thing. These cameras are mounted on fixed-wing aircraft. They can spot people 25 miles away. And the cameras can't discern any of the details of the people and the cars that simply they show up like as pixels. But they can really track movements with it. And they think that this will help solve and possibly deter crime. So they've had some demonstrations in Dayton, Ohio, where the company's based, also in Baltimore, Philly, Compton, California, and the cameras have already been used to solve some problems in Dayton. But there still is, like, go back to this, something about how much is too much and over the top, and you can imagine that the ACLU is all over this. Because, I mean, there's only so much you can stop, and what is the balance between how much we let the government in to look and see what's going on, and how much of that strikes at our constitutional rights? We'll be talking about it, trust me, in the next couple of months. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.